Welcome to Ride Home Review. I'm Oliver.
And I'm Susan.
And we are coming to you live from Melbourne.
Well, as this is a podcast, it's probably not live.
No.
But we're recording it live in Melbourne.
Yes.
Where we have just seen Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, parts one.
And two.
And two. Now, I'm wearing my Keep the Secrets badge.
As am I.
Which means that we have taken a solemn pledge, enforceable by an imperious charm or something, spell.
Yeah.
That we won't tell you the secrets.
Yeah.
Now, we've had a brief discussion and decided that the secrets are really the things that are not in the script.
Yes, because the script is publicly available.
And pretty widely read. So what we're not going to tell you is terribly much about the magic, except to say, holy crap, it's magical!
Yeah, it is certainly magical.
It's blow your mind, wonderful, magical. Now, I will tell you what it's not, okay?
Yeah.
I was expecting kind of a bit Disney.
Yes.
I was expecting the kind of all bells and whistles kind of, you walk in, you see the set, you go, oh! No.
No.
No,
it's
not that.
Somehow more magical because you can see it before your eyes.
Yeah, look, you need to understand that this actually was a play that won a choreography award.
Didn't win, it was nominated though.
It was, okay, it was nominated for a choreography award because a lot of what happens is in extremely precise movement, and some of it is very old school theatre. Some of it is quite literally what you would see in community theatre where people push things on and off stages, you know, props and
stuff.
But it's
done with such precise precision.
Precise precision as opposed to imprecise precision.
It's worthy of both precise precision.
Oh, okay, excellent. And that's not at all a tautology, it's just a emphasis.
Yes.
Right, okay. Just so we're clear on that point.
So that it becomes magical. That's how precise it is.
Yeah. But it's not just that people are precisely pushing things into place. There is magic that we're not going to discuss because
yes,
curse.
Not. Yes.
We don't want to be cursed children. But some of it is really very old school.
Yeah.
Traditional theatre skills just executed
to perfection.
To absolute perfection. And the vision that has brought these things together. Now, a lot of people, when they read the Cursed Child script, went, oh, yeah, okay.
Not JK.
Whatever. But I don't know whether she envisaged it like this or whether it's the production team or whether it's a combination. But when you see it, you are swept up in the magic of it.
And the story, I always liked the story of the play.
Yeah, I like the story too. But it goes from a like the story to make your heart melt and race and cry and sob and your soul soar all together.
Because of the spectacular
production. Yeah, I mean, it's a good story done superbly.
Now let's talk about the cast. Because we can talk about them.
They're not subject to a curse?
No, they're not subject to a curse.
No charms?
No charms.
No spells?
No spells.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, I had some reservations about the person playing Ginny.
Yes. Lucy Goldblay.
And I think that it was to do with how she was directed, probably more than her abilities as a performer.
Right. Yeah.
Because we all know that Ginny is a Weasley.
Mm-hmm. Ginny is a daughter of Molly Weasley.
Who was a little bit hysterical.
Yeah.
Had hysterical tendencies. But I found the hystericalness of Ginny to be really irritating most of the time. But then towards the end of the fourth act,
she had some quiet moments.
She had some more quiet, reflective moments, which I appreciated more. The others are pretty much faultless.
Yes, Gareth Reeves as Harry, Paula Ondal as Hermione.
Again, continuing the tradition
of a black
Hermione, because why not?
Why not?
There was nothing that says she couldn't be.
Yep. Deaton Grantley as Ron, playing a comedic Ron. Very comedic.
And to me, a little bit too slapstick or silly, if you like. But again, his performance was awesome. But a choice was made. You know, he was our comic relief, and I can't believe that the husband of the Minister of Magic would be that kind of flippant. But anyway,
Sean Rhys-Wemyss as Albus Potter.
Yes, he was fantastic.
He and Gareth Reeves as Harry, I thought, were the stars of the show.
Yeah, I also
alongside William McKenna as Scorpius Malfoy.
Yeah, yeah. Look.
And lastly, the one other performance I want to mention is Tom Renner's Draco.
Yeah. Honestly, this is one of the best things that I have seen on stage ever. And I admit that I have
we both have a strong
Potter bias. A very, very strong Potter bias. Also, we flew from Brisbane to Melbourne and paid good currency for these tickets. And you wouldn't do that if you weren't diehard.
No, but what made this show spectacular was we were in the back row.
Yeah, pretty shit seats.
But it was phenomenal.
And interestingly, if you want to talk about cultural tourism, which I now do,
yeah,
beside us were girls from the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast. So we're in half a row, almost entirely made up of people that had travelled from Queensland to see this. This is a huge draw card, and rightly so. Also, a sellout performance. That meant that people had, Friday night, you might say, oh, well. But they were there last night too, or Thursday night, and that's a school night.
Yeah.
Blown away, I were.
I was too. I mean, if you haven't already guessed, I'm giving it a high distinction.
Yeah, I'm giving it a high distinction plus, if there is such a thing.
We've never given a high distinction plus, but I think this show earned it.
100%.
Yeah, we'll be back for a two-show day tomorrow, where we're still in Melbourne, and we'll see the Melbourne Theatre Company's production of A View Under the Bridge.
A View from the Bridge.
A View from the Bridge, yes.
Or you can be under the bridge if you're a sad wino.
Well, yeah. And Muriel's Wedding the Musical.
Indeed. So, cultural tourism, we rock.
Yeah.
Catch you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.